Hey guys, Tim here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get all of my training programs for free. That's right, it's part of our new 12-month coaching program called Springboard, and it's designed to help gym owners who are stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month grow to $30,000 in stable recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym and to see which one of my training programs you get for free, visit gymownercoach.com. That's right, gymownercoach.com for more information. Now let's get into the show. All right. Welcome back to the Gym Business Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, out Mount Rushmore on the backdrop, joined by the head on the left, Zach Columbia. What's up, buddy?
That's me. What number president am I?
I don't know. Who's on the left? Does anybody know on Mount Rushmore? It's probably George Washington or somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, got a good one for you today. So here's something interesting. We talk to gym owners all the time, like, and we see the businesses that they run and we get in the weeds and solve the problems and you start to extract and you pull the curtain back on how did they get here? How did they get to a business that's not serving them anymore? Because there was a dream at one point to open a gym that serves their life, that makes tons of money, that gives them the financial and time freedom to do what they want, open multiple locations, have a great team, have a culture, have a community. And then when you fast forward 5, 7, 8 years down the road, they despise it. They look at this gym as like not doing anything like what they imagined it to do. And we're going to talk around how we've seen a lot of gyms fall into this trap, why they fall into this trap, and how to get out of it. Does that sound like a good podcast?
Yeah.
All right. So you go along these missions. Again, everybody opens a gym for a different reason. I open my gym for one reason. You know, the guy down the street opens it for a different reason. But somewhere in that equation, it's a business that serves, I guess, the owner, the community, builds a financial lifestyle for the person taking the risk. Because most gym owners were coaches at one point or came from the coaching community and they wanted to do it their way. They thought they could do it better than everybody else. They wanted to bring something new to the market and they want to have control over the product, right? You know, like it's going to be our way. It's going to be this brand new thing or we're going to do it better than everybody else. And then reality hits. They've got clients that can only train at certain times of the day or they have employees that are only available certain hours of the day. And all of a sudden the business morphs into kind of a Frankenstein in a lot of ways. The schedule's all over the place. They're coaching, they're taking on youth athletes and, silver sneakers, and they're taking people on with injuries or general population or fat loss and muscle gain, bodybuilding, CrossFit, everything's in one because they don't want to let anybody walk out the door without signing them up onto something. So they concede, I guess, in some ways and say, yeah, I can train them this way. And the business becomes so complicated that it can't scale. The messaging for the market's all over the place. Nobody knows what they do in that place. And then, you know, a couple years into it, the gym owner's like starting to like resent this place and they don't know how to get out of the problem. You seeing that too?
Well, yeah, it devolves essentially. It evolves in a direction that they didn't intentionally ever plan on building. And by the time they stop and they pause and they look back,
right,
they're like, what happened? How did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you would resent that somewhat, maybe a lot, but you also then hit this crossroads where you go, is this ever going to get me what I actually want out of this? Is it a sunk cost? Am I too far in to now go back? Where do I go from here? Like, do I just show up tomorrow and just keep the doors open
another
day? Sometimes
it gets too heavy to be able to make the decisions because what you're saying is you got it. You either rebuild it all from scratch, burn it down and start over, which is a very difficult thing to do, or slowly, I guess, devolve back to where you want it to be. And that means pissing off a lot of old clients and people on old rates and I can't train you anymore. And look, we've done all of those things here too, because as we evolved, we were always moving in the right direction. We had a lot of failures, but then we realized really quickly, well, it's not really a failure because it wasn't serving the business. And we kept moving towards this semi-private model. This is even a decade ago. We were moving towards this way. We still had other things, but we realized really quickly we got to get rid of them. And I have story after story. I mean, I remember when we had like the silver sneaker, like foundations. Call it foundations. It was for, you know, 75 and over, you know, people that had a lot of injuries, and they had a nice little club. They would come in here. I think it was like 11 in the morning or 10 in the morning. They would come in. There was like, you know, a dozen of the those types of clients. They were paying a little bit less than everybody because we had some senior discount that we would offer. And it was just like two or three classes a week. And then we just looked at it and we're like, this isn't serving us. We did it because we didn't want to give up the revenue, right? We took them on. They didn't really fit into our regular training protocols. So we made this special class, special session in a primo time, if we're being honest. And we plunked them down in the gym. And then during those hours of the day, I remember the music would change, the energy would drop. Yep. And there were still other clients in there with the other coaches. And they weren't getting as great as services.
The experience changed.
Experience change. And so the day we said we're not doing it anymore, got a lot of heat.
Yeah.
I got a letter in the mail. Yeah. I got a hate letter from one of our longstanding clients, somebody that had been with us for years, saying that he wishes me no luck at all.
Yep.
He tries to, like, you know,
twist
the knife in me because he was so upset that we would do anything like get rid of something that wasn't serving the business.
Well, and the only reason we kept it as long as we did was also like the emotional attachment to those clients.
Great clients. Great clients. You know,
it wasn't even about the revenue because we're like, we can easily just swap this out. But then you feel guilty because you got these people and they're older too. And you're like, you're making this impact and stuff. But you go back to kind of how you start is starting out when you opened the gym, you never would have said, oh, I'm going to start a foundation. You're college football player, athlete. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going, oh, I'm going to start this foundations class where we have an hour where we bring people in and they do balance work for 45 minutes.
Never have thought of that. It was in the business plan.
Yeah. And so that's the thing that happens is you get one client come in for a consultation and you're like, man, this isn't what we do, but I need the money and I don't, you know, I got to take it. I got to make it work. And again, you're not building towards what you originally thought you envisioned, what the dream was. You're just taking on clients and just trying to grow the business. I don't even know if grow the business is right. You're trying to stay open and pay your bills. And you're like, fitness is for everyone. I'm capable of doing this.
Yeah, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Yeah. And the reason that happens, you nailed it, is there was no like global plan. And this happens to a lot of gyms. There's no blueprint. There's no plan in place. And, you know, I come from a construction background, so we could easily tie this to construction. When you go and do a project, you buy a piece of dirt or you're going to do a development, there is so much planning that happens years in advance before that first shovel hits the ground, right? Before the first survey marker goes out on the site, you've got architects, engineers, you know, plumbing, electrical, all the things and all the systems are going to work together on this project to get to the end goal. Unfortunately, with gyms, you start off on something.
You start building, right?
You start building day one and you're like, we'll take you and we'll take you. And, you know, you can easily see a gym that's gone down that kind of like crooked path with the schedule they operate at. If you've got scheduled times that are 9:15, 10:45, 11:03, you know, like it's because one day a client said they could only train at that time. So you added it to the schedule and then you took it. And then you have like the foundations like we did and you're training athletes in the summer and you're doing all this because you don't have a strong enough business plan that allows you to say no to things because, well, we need the money. We need to do it. And when you start like backing out, you're like, oh my gosh, that's how we got here. So how do we get back to the original goal? Because if we're being honest, and we kind of wrote it out over the weekend, like what is the goal for the gyms that we work with? Like when they come to us, you know, they want a business that systems run, right? In business or systems led, team run,
yes.
Serves the owner.
Yep.
in most gyms that we work with don't have either of any of those things. It doesn't serve the owner. Their team's kind of running the business, but the owner's very invested in it. And there's not enough systems that allows the freedom, you know, for anybody to just, you know, move out of the role, right? So they get stuck.
Or I would say that there's so many systems because there's so many scattered products and services and all this complexity around like how the team runs it or which team members run it, it's so complex and there's so many layers to it that the owner can't step away because they built it. They're the only one that really knows like the maze through the, through the building. And so it's impossible for a team or, you know, even one person on that team to know how to do everything and where all the pieces are.
And so what we try to do is we try to simplify things. I mean, when we simplified here, everything gets better. Yeah. And most things get better when you have less moving parts. And so sometimes it means cutting a whole service category. Sometimes it means cutting staff. Sometimes it means shrinking your schedule down. It definitely means reducing your offerings of your pricing structure. We work with a gym they just came on board with us, 11 different prices for one gym. And it wasn't like all these different services. It was just grandfather rates, a firefighter discount, a teacher thing, a family plan. It was this, it was that. I was like, oh my gosh,
monthly, a paid in full.
A 3 month, a 6 month, sessions and all these things. And it's like, wow. And so simplification. If you're a gym owner dedicated to delivering a better training experience than your competitors, then you already know that one of the biggest bottlenecks in your business is programming. Most gym owners are either doing it themselves or paying a team a small fortune just to keep up. That's why I want to tell you about our sponsor, Semi-Private Pro, a platform that we built out of necessity in our own gym after realizing how much time and money we were just wasting to stay on top of programming. Let me give you a couple real-world examples. Ayn Toppin, she was spending 3 hours a day on programming. After switching to Semi-Private Pro, that dropped to zero, with zero drop in quality. Scott Wilson out of Kentucky, he's paying his team 15 hours a week for programming. Now they handle it in 15 minutes, and it's actually better than before. And Elizabeth Rogers, she reclaimed her Sundays. No more weekends behind a laptop writing workouts, and her coaches are now more aligned and consistent than ever. Guys, that is what Semi-Private Pro does. It gives you a master programming system your coaches can easily follow and adjust in real time. And here's the best part. This isn't some cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all template. Thanks to Semi-Private Pro's trademark movement matrix, every client workout is customized to their goals and movement quality. So it's not just faster, it's actually more individualized, more professional, and completely scalable. So if you're tired of spending your weekends writing workouts or worse, paying your team to do it, head on over to semiprivatepro.com to learn more. That's semiprivatepro.com and reclaim your time and level up your training. I think is usually step one. Let's get rid of things that aren't serving the business, right? Like there's so many things we did here that we looked at and we made a decision to get rid of because it wasn't really helping anybody. It wasn't making it easy to do business with us. I'll tell you that. Usually we served the business and not the client.
Yeah.
But going back to the plans again, so like you have a decision to make. You're at a crossroads. You go back and you look and man, this business isn't really paying it's not really paying the bills. I'm a slave to it because I'm here every day, right? As an owner, my team's all over the place. The market doesn't know what we do. We do everything, right? We serve everybody. So you have a decision to make. Do you just keep going down that road, wake up 5 years from now and be in the same exact place? Or what we call in the construction industry would be retrofitting or even a remodel, you could call it that, but retrofitting a systems into an existing building, into an existing business. And that's really what we're all about, Gym Business Coach, is that, you know, we work with some people that are just starting out and those ones are the easy ones because they just don't have any mistakes to fix.
Those are the easy, they see success the fastest.
They're the fastest. They go right to the finish line.
Much easier to build from, you know, an empty lot than it is to come in. But I would also say that, you know, step one of that, of retrofitting is you got to start, even if you are not building from scratch from an empty lot, you still have to pause and figure out what the end is. Like, what am I trying to build here?
Mm-hmm.
And usually when somebody opens a gym, they're younger, they don't have a lot of life experience. Sometimes they do, but like a lot of times they're coming into it and never thinking 20 years in the future.
Right.
What do I want to get out of this? They're going, hey, how do I launch this thing and get 20 clients? Like, what is it?
They're looking at the next step in front of them, not, you know, the journey, the finish line of the marathon, right? Yeah.
Not like, hey, if I build this business, what is the math of the model? Can it give me the life that I want? Or is it going to be something that actually is mathematically impossible for me to get what I want out of it? Very few people run that equation and see and go, you know, it would be like building a building with like, hey, we want to have 20, pods or places on here. We want to have 20 leases agreements. This is going to be a commercial property. We're bringing people in, or a 4-bedroom house or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're building a 1200 square foot house. And it's like, how are you going to fit four bedrooms
in this little tiny box?
Yeah. Yeah.
I see what you're saying. The design of the want of this mansion is you're trying to build it on like a 4,000 square foot lot, right? And you got 30-foot setbacks, and you got like you can only build straight up, but it's only a 2-story building. So now you're really confined to the specifications of what you can really build in a smaller space.
Yeah.
You know, look, you know, smaller footprints are something to be admired, to be honest with you, because when you have a big monster gym, a lot of overhead, a lot of pressure. So now you have to maximize the revenue per square foot. How do you do that? Well, you have to charge the highest prices you can. Well, higher prices comes with a higher product. It should. You can't just have a crap product and slap a high price on and hope for the best. I've seen that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't end well. Your product, your service has to be best in class. It has to be. Then you can add the high ticket to it. And for us, I don't know if we define high ticket ever, but like, you know, $400-$600 a month, that's pretty good. And then you don't need a whole bunch of people in 100 people at $600, that's 60 grand in a, you know, 2000 square foot single bay, commercial space.
Bay. That's the word I was looking for.
Oh, bay. Yeah. Bay. Yeah. Commercial bay. So you go back and look at your model and you say, oh my gosh, we're charging, you know, $129 for a large group training and we can only do, you know, 15 people in this whole room, and why are you doing that to begin with? Well, you probably looked at the guy down the street. It's kind of fun to train that way. You thought that, I don't know. I don't know why people end up going that direction.
I think it's two really kind of key things is number one, you never start with the end in mind. So you don't know really like what to build because, or where to build, how to structure it. Because you're just trying to get by. And then second is what we would refer to as the status quo, which essentially is just this old, outdated, obsolete way of running things or doing things. It's like, look at our industry. How much has what you're told to do in the norm of the industry changed over the last 50 years? Not much.
No.
It's like, sell a package of sessions. They were doing that 50 years ago. And like, you know, oh, I'm going to sell them the 10 pack. It's like,
or the more sessions you buy, the cheaper it is. Like, yeah. Well, what's the price, man?
So it's like that, or it's split shifts with your staff. And because that's just the way it's always been done.
Right.
And so you do build, you don't have the end product in mind. And so you get into this position where you're like, okay, I need to grow. I need to build. I'm going to take these old ways of doing things, which never move, like they just create more problems. And then because you have more problems, you just chase the next tactic or gimmick or whatever to make ends meet. So it's just this vicious cycle that you get stuck in.
Yeah, man.
It really.
You sit back and look at it. That's really how we got here. Like, how did we get to this point? Well, it's the way it's always been done. Well, it's time to question the way it's always been done because I don't want what those guys had, like those gyms that are struggling. Like, I don't want that. So if I don't want what they have and I want what I design, what I would think is success, that I can't follow the old status quo. I just can't do it, or else you're going to get the same average results.
Well, that is the difference between what we did and what most do. And the reason I think we're able to help people is because we stopped looking at, oh, well, what's the way that this has always been done? And we went out and we problem solved.
We built.
Thought outside the box and we built it. And we said, okay, that doesn't solve any problems. Like, what is the solution, the actual solution? What can we build that is actually going to solve this problem and move the business forward and give us the business that we want?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, So that's the build, don't chase methodology we really preach on. Most of the industry chases the next tactic, the next shiny ball, the guy down the street, the pricing and what they did, the model, what those guys did, and they never really build anything themselves. And then they bolt things onto their business and it becomes a Frankenstein. And then you fast forward 10 years, you look back and like, man, this is a mess. It's not serving me. It's all over the place. It's like a building where you build on to the rooms onto it, but then now you got to go outside, go around the backyard, go in the back door, because there's no way to connect the two services inside, right? There's no
hallway.
The
Arizona room.
The Arizona room.
Yeah.
Actually, that's pretty cool. It's just an enclosed patio, by the way. For anybody that's not from Arizona. Florida's called it a lanai.
Oh.
A lanai, hey. Yes. That's very, I guess that's Hawaiian.
But if you were building from scratch, you would have built that thing totally different than just putting a screen around.
Right, it's a retrofitted, yeah. It came with the patio with an overhang, and you just built it in. But, and that's really what we're all about, and that's what we're so excited about, our book of frameworks, because those frameworks are created from not following the status quo. They are a new way. We actually call it the way. Like, it is literally a new way to run a business, solve the problems that you have, whether or not you have them yet or before you get to them, because if you install the frameworks and you install the way, you won't have those problems. You won't be the status quo. And you'll finally have a business, I guess, that runs, the way you wanted it to originally, because most gym owners don't have the business they really set out or believed that they were going to have. And the truth is, I didn't either when I first started. I was doing just like everybody else, trying to figure it out. Try this tactic, do a boot camp, try this style of training, because I didn't have mentors like myself ahead of me telling me the way to do it. The people opening gyms right now, they have a cheat code. You can literally call us up. We've got everything fixed for you, and you can go build an amazing, successful, profitable gym that serves you, runs on system, that the team runs it, and you can rubber stamp these out all over the country if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. Most gym owners that are started 10, 15 years ago didn't have it either. It's nice because we got it now, right? Oh, how did we get here? This is the history of the fitness industry in 25 minutes. So listen, guys, we got some really fun and cool things coming up. We got some workshops that we're going to get on the schedule. The dates are set, but we haven't announced it yet, so I won't announce it yet. We got our frameworks book. Guys, if you need help with this, listen, we've got a springboard program. We've got our Iron Circle. Those are the two things we do. We don't have a million things. And within the springboard, that's where you get your systems and the way frameworks and all the stuff that we've got all the trainings on. Guys, this is hand-holding coaching. This is weekly calls, Voxer access. This is what most of our clients do, is they jump into the springboard. And then we hit a certain level, they move up to the Iron Circle, and they're doing other things, wealth and all the other things that we offer. So that's you. Link will be in the show notes, right, Brian? You can plug it down there somewhere. All right. Grab that link, book a call. You'll talk to probably Zach on the call, and hopefully we can give you some help. Even if it's just some clarity, I think that's a great place to start. And then you can make a decision from there. So hopefully that helps you. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. If you enjoyed this episode and want to go deeper on this stuff, head on over to our YouTube channel. The podcast right here is where we have the conversations, but on the YouTube, we break down things much more in depth. We walk through real frameworks, real strategies, and systems that gym owners are using right now to build better businesses. Just search Gym Business Coach on YouTube, or head on over to youtube.com/@TheGymBusinessCoach.com. Subscribe to the channel, and I will see you over there.